The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us today. My name's Kent Swanson. This is the AP Laboratory. This is the game preview edition for week 3 of the preseason. The Chiefs are about to start their dress rehearsal against the San Francisco 49ers. Here to help me talk about that game is my dear pal. We'll start here. Find him on Twitter at Chief in Carolina. Matty Lane, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic tonight. Tonight is the night that I've been the most excited to podcast in a long time now. I don't know what it is. I just got a bunch of energy. I'm going to need Kent to raise it up a little bit. I'm going to need Kent to elevate his energy level for the rest of this podcast right now. Normally at this time, we beg for 5-star reviews, but we really just got to get into it. DeAnthony Thomas came back for the Chiefs. Oh, wait, he was wearing a jersey with the number 5 on it. If that's not a sign sent to you guys to hop over into the iTunes reviews, drop 5 stars for us, leave a review with a question, we'll read it aloud on the live stream for you guys. It'll be a lot of fun for us and you guys. Kent, you got something else here?
You should leave that review.
Okay, so we are also joined by Craig Stout. Find him on Twitter at BarleyHop. Once he recovers from facepalming that joke, he will join us.
I'm leaving the podcast. This is it, guys. It's been a good run, mediocre run. Speaking for myself mostly there, I've been pretty mediocre. But after that pun, I just can't.
So you're saying that's all, folks?
Oh. I'm out. I'm done, guys.
This is great. Okay. Well, me and Maddie are here to just, I guess, carry the rest of this show. It was nice to know you, Craig. Thank you for setting the live stream up and all that good stuff for us. So you can go now, I guess. I guess your time is over.
Peace out, guys.
We've got 3 storylines on offense and defense to go over. Also going to give you guys all offensive and defensive players to watch. This is kind of the format that we're going to be rolling with during the season. We've been doing it the last 2 weeks of the preseason. Guys, I want to start here. We're going to go on offense as usual, as we should, because Patrick LeVon Mahomes is on offense last time I checked.
I want to start on the defense.
Well, that's not how this works. What? No. No.
I hate MVP's, that you're in control of this.
Dick MVP,
MVP's first, guys. That's all I got to say. Speaking of the MVP, if you watched last week's game, you saw about half of a quarter of Patrick Mahomes, and that half of a quarter was ugly. There was that one point where the play busted, and Patrick just threw the ball out of bounds because he wasn't about to risk a busted, broken play like that turning into something worse in a wet, rain-delayed game. So I think we're all trying to see this offense maybe get in a little bit better kind of rhythm this week, Maddie. I know that's one thing we're kind of paying attention to.
Yeah, and I'm not particularly concerned about the offense being out of rhythm for a delayed game in which the Steelers were throwing a little bit more out there than you usually see in a preseason game, especially the second one. So it's not a big deal to me that they looked a little out of sync. It wasn't fun as a viewer of the game, but them being out of sync's not a big deal. I do want to see them come out. I want to see the offense execute like it did that first week against the Bengals. I don't even care if Mahomes plays one drive at this point in time, as long as it's successful. Down the field, boom, 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 some quick passes, maybe one vertical shot, mixing some runs, pull them out, call it good. Apparently, I didn't get the memo that in preseason game three, nobody plays any players worth mentioning this year. That's a thing. So Mahomes needs one series, and then I'm good.
Well, the only reason that Green Bay isn't playing tonight is because they're playing on an 80-yard field in Winnipeg, Canada right now. That is a true fact.
Are they playing eight-man football? Are they playing eight-man football, too?
You know what?
Why is Rodgers not throwing a Hail Mary every play? He can hit the end zone from anywhere.
That's true.
I mean,
that's true.
You're not wrong.
If they were playing eight-man right now, we would not be podcasting. We would all be sitting around watching NFL eight-man football. Now, I too want to see how the offense looks. I want to see a little bit more of a game plan, a little bit more maybe Andy Reid's first 5 or 10. Try and get him in a rhythm, get Pat into a rhythm, see the running backs maybe touch the ball a little bit more, and then try and maybe dial up a deep shot or two just to kind of see, because we've seen it in practice, we've seen it in camp, we've seen all the videos and everything like that. It'd just be nice to kind of see those guys click, because they're not going to play next week, and it's going to be a little while before they take the field again.
And I'm not really worried about a lack of rhythm or anything. Like, that's not something I'm worried about. I think it'd be good to see them just kind of have, you know, have a little fluidity to what they're doing, just get into a rhythm so, you know, they're kind of just ready for the regular season. It's a good thing to kind of just kind of end on a good note. Smooth sailing with the MVP. That'd be a lot of fun.
Maybe highlight some of the star players. We haven't seen them go to Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce that often yet. And I get it. It's preseason. You don't need to go to the veterans that often. But just get them and Pat Mahomes out there, showcase quickly what the offense is going to be during the regular season. Then you're good. That's all we need. Utilize the best players. We're going to get plenty of Blake Bells and McCole Hardman's throughout the whole game, and then the last game, let's see maybe some of the stars do something here this first drive or two.
One of the things that we need to talk about before this San Francisco 33ers game is the wide receiver usage. Things kind of got mixed up a little bit here with Marcus Kemp's injury. The Chiefs sign Lee Summitt's finest, apparently, D'Anthony Thomas, who's been living locally this season, after, you know, a career with the Kansas City Chiefs, came back, signed late into the preseason, so he is back. It kind of feels like he might be here to replace the empty roster spot that Marcus Kemp left. I'm kind of pessimistic about Cody Thompson, but I think we kind of want to see, one, does Dak get used, and two, what the wide receiver situation looks like here, Matt.
I'm not so sure that D'Anthony Thomas has a role as a wide receiver. So I think the big thing that holding on to Kemp for a wide receiver was he could play any position. He knows the playbook, and he could step in and play any one of the positions. D'Anthony Thomas knows the playbook, but you're not going to put D'Anthony Thomas on the line of scrimmage and ask him to run a slant. You're not even really putting D'Anthony Thomas as the Z and having him just outrun somebody with an outside release down the field. He's essentially a slot-only wide receiver, which is fine, especially when he knows the playbook. But he doesn't really fill that Kemp role, which was the ability to play anywhere. So if anything, I think it's just for special teams, and you might see Cody Thompson.
It is. I mean, that's kind of why Marcus Kemp was on this roster anyway, but he's probably going to be listed as a wide receiver. He's going to be technically the sixth wide receiver on this roster, is my guess.
Well, no, for sure. It's just a matter of, I think Marcus Kemp knows the playbook just as good, and as an offensive player, as a receiver, he could play any one of the wide receiver positions. How well is up in the air, but he could physically do it. D'Anthony Thomas can't match that just based on his size and athletic ability. So you might even see 7 wide receivers now without Kemp, since you don't have that dual purpose, knows the playbook, can do everything, and play special teams. Because Cody Thompson's far better as a wide receiver to play across all 3 positions than D'Anthony Thomas is.
Cody Thompson can wide receiver. I'm not certain D'Anthony Thomas can. I mean, he's obviously a functional NFL weapon. He is an offensive weapon. He's a gadget player. I mean, we talked a little bit about Mecole Hardman being that type of gadget player, replacing some of those touches that D'Anthony Thomas had gotten in previous years. Now D'Anthony Thomas is here. I would rather give the ball to Mecole Hardman, honestly. The speed is legit. He deserves to be, you know, the recipient of those targets more so than D'Anthony Thomas. If anything, about this move, or if this move tells you anything about this team, it's that Dave Tobe has control over a handful of roster spots. I know we've joked about it a lot, but guys, Marcus Kemp goes down. Dave Tobe was asked about it directly, and he danced around the question a little bit, basically said, well, you know, that's not exactly why we brought him in, but maybe it, you know, it definitely helped it along. Dave Tobe gets to call the shots on a handful of roster spots. This is simply him dialing up another one of his guys to bring in and play Gunner, and that's fine. That's what Dave does. So, we got to see it. It, you know,
I think, you know, all the things you guys are saying are true. And I honestly don't completely get why D'Anthony Thomas is going to be on this roster outside of Dave Tobe influence. I do think looking and watching and seeing what wide receivers get in with the first team and all that stuff, I still think that's actually going to be an indicator of what the 53-man roster might look like. So I'm keeping an eye on the likes of Cody Thompson. Where and when does he get in with? Who does he get in with? Because I think those are the little things that whether or not D'Anthony Thomas, you're right, he's technically a wide receiver. He's not doing a ton. He's not running all three receiver spots. He's going to be catching those end arounds or those little misdirection under the arms of the running back flips for touchdowns that Mecole Hardman should probably be getting. If he gets any of them, I'll just be kind of salty. But I think even just getting to see what happens with that first unit is going to kind of give you an idea of how the wide receivers are going to be used and who is going to be used, because I'm kind of pouring one out for Cody Thompson preemptively right now. I'll just be frank. I don't feel very optimistic that he's making this roster at this point.
I think they'd have to keep seven wide receivers in order to keep Cody Thompson at this point. I'm not sure that they're going to do that.
I'm not feeling it. I'm just flat out not feeling it. I'm very pessimistic. And the pod after the 53-man roster cutdown could be very interesting if something like this happens. Let's talk about another storyline, the third storyline we kind of want to talk about for the offensive side of the ball. Cam Irving has switched from the swing tackle, mercifully, he's moved from that, to play inside. He's been getting a lot of run this week with the first team. He's been lining it up at left guard and he's replacing Andrew Wiley. I find that frankly stunning. Maybe they're just hoping they can get more out of Cam inside. I know Cam thought he was a tackle. He said he was a tackle for the longest time. That's where he's wanted to play. They let him try, and it failed miserably. He was very bad the first 2 weeks of this preseason. So now they've moved him inside, and it sounds like he might have replaced Andrew Wiley.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens once the games get going and everything. I think the big thing for me is Andrew Wiley should 100% be the backup offensive tackle. So if this is just him getting practice reps playing tackle, since it's clear as day that Cam Irving is not capable of being the backup offensive tackle, then it's fine. You can't give Andrew Wiley all the reps at the first team guard, then make him take all the reps at tackle during a practice. So if that's what's happening, I felt okay about it. But then kind of came Andy's comments today. That one threw me off a little bit because it really does sound like they see Cameron Irving as a starting level guard, which is fine. He was serviceable last year at playing guard. I just don't know when he was ever good enough this year at tackle, last year at guard, to justify replacing Andrew Wiley, who just simply played better last year when he was playing guard than Cameron Irving did. This year during the preseason, he's been fine. I was watching him a little bit against the Steelers. He didn't play great, but he also was not bad by any way. He was not a weak link along the offensive line. So it just seems like a change to make a change. And we never know what's going on behind the scenes, but there has to be something we don't know to make this move, because Cameron Irving simply isn't good enough to justify throwing everything that you've worked on for months out the window now.
Yeah, there's got to be something else here. Did Andrew Wiley miss assignments? I mean, it didn't show up. It's hard to really look at offensive line in preseason and take too terribly much from it, but it certainly does look that Andrew Wiley lost his starting job this week, and that's not good. Cam Irving is certainly better at left guard than he is at tackle. That doesn't mean that he should be starting over Andrew Wiley. That doesn't mean that they should be moving Andrew Wiley out to tackle. I said kind of all along this preseason that Cam Irving could be a piece that could get dealt. I'm even more in that camp if he can't play swing tackle, because the Chiefs have right. a plethora of interior offensive linemen that are serviceable or that they've invested in. It's time for those investments to pay dividends. You can't just sit here and carry Khalil McKenzie for another year without him doing something. So if you've got those guys that you're willing to lean on, Cam Irving at left guard just doesn't make any sense to me, because Andrew Wiley's better and you've got other guys on the roster. So it's time to move on, in my opinion.
And here's kind of why I'm looking into this whole Cam Irving situation a little bit. This is your dress rehearsal. Why are you trying to do this week? Why are you playing around with your starting offensive lineman the week you're kind of simulating game prep, the week you're kind of, you know, getting, you know, trying to simulate what it's going to be like, what your preparation and all that stuff is going to be like? This is not the week to tinker. So why are they doing this? It seems like this might be a decision. You know, one's an anomaly, two, three's a trend. Like, I mean, it seems like he's been there all week. So
issue comes in, though, if they realize that Cameron Irving is not cutting it as an offensive tackle and they're going to need another backup offensive tackle, it's not him. Because that's pretty clear. If that's the move, who else is it going to be? Andrew Wiley was essentially in line to be that last year when he played offensive tackle in the preseason. So if they know they need a new backup tackle and it's not going to be Cameron Irving, they do need to get Andrew Wiley, if he's a possibility, reps out there. Yeah, it's a weird timing to do it, but you can't really wait too much longer either if you're making that full switch. And then full tinfoil hat time. What if they know that, say, Fisher isn't going to be here next year? What if they just want someone to be ready to take his place? Like, just long-term development. They know Cameron Irving is going to be roughly the same as Andrew Wiley. I think a little worse, but roughly the same at guard. Now they just want Andrew Wiley to take all practice reps here on out at tackle. What if they plan on making him play there next year after Fisher's gone? Said full tinfoil hat. Ugh. But Cameron Irving obviously isn't an answer for left tackle. Maybe?
The full tinfoil hat is trying to make your 2019 team worse, though. Yeah. Like, this is Matthew Lane's nightmare. You're always complaining about that $25 million in cap space just sitting there, not helping this team get better. And now you're tinfoiling an idea that they're getting worse.
Listen, making themselves worse. So no matter if it's a tinfoil hat theory or not, they have actively chose to make themselves worse. I'm just trying to justify it in some way.
See, I thought you were going to go the contract method with it. Like, Andrew Wiley's up next year, you know, they're just trying to drive his costs down so that they can have their left guard of the future on a cheap deal.
And there's options. And here's the thing. Cameron Irving was serviceable as a guard. So if Cameron Irving has to play left guard, it's not like the Chiefs are automatically going to be terrible at the position. I just think Andrew Wiley had proven that he was already at least as good, younger, cheaper, and I thought he was better. And now you're just throwing a wrench into something that's been worked out all offseason. Cam Irving has not played left guard all year next to Fisher. This is a weird time to make this full switch, unless Wiley's been terrible or unless they have some other plan that we just don't know about yet. And like I said, it's weird to make your team worse on purpose at this point in time.
Maybe they're just showcasing Cam Irving to do what Craig is trying to do and just get this guy off the football team. Nothing makes sense, and we'll see what happens. I mean, it's not a definitive thing that this is what's going on. It's just, man, it doesn't seem...
The timing of it's so odd. Timing of it's so odd, unless they're sticking with him. So,
right. All right. Craig, give us an offensive player to watch on Saturday.
Well, I'm going with Byron Pringle. I realize that Byron Pringle probably won't get much time with the ones, if any. And he's probably not going to get a ton of time as a two wide receiver. We'll see some, but not as much as maybe he could have in previous games. I'm watching Pringle for special teams because I think that's where he's got to be to make this team. He was an All-American returner. He's been a pretty good gunner in the reps that he's gotten. His wide receiver reps are going to be fairly limited if he does make this roster. So he's got to make it as a special teamer in my mind. I want to see more from him in that aspect of the game, because we do know that he's a pretty good wide receiver. He can stretch the field a little bit. He's a pretty big body. He's got suspect hand. Like, we know Byron Pringle, the receiver. I think we need to see a little bit more out of him in special teams in order to kind of make him one of Dave Tobe's guys and then assuring his roster spot.
Well, the interesting thing is his last two returns that he's made this year and then going back to last year have been good. They've been good returns. Mm-hmm. Then you go last week against the Steelers, and there wasn't a lot of kick returns to go around, but he wasn't even on the field for any of them as a return man. So is he buried that far down the depth chart? Are they just trying to see what everyone's got? It just doesn't make sense that he's been successful in the reps he gets and has the pedigree that he has, but then he just doesn't get as many options as Tremont Smith, Darwin Thompson, or just about anybody else as a return man. So it's either they already know what they have or they don't like what they're seeing in practice, you have to assume.
Matty, who's your guy?
My guy is going to be the one, the only, the Lizard King, a.k.a. Sammy Watkins. I think it's just time to have, like I said earlier, showcase some of these star players. Sammy's kind of only gotten one real target. It was a pass in the first game, a quick little curl, then he was out of the game. Let's get him going a little bit. I want to see Sammy Watkins. I just want to see him run some more advanced routes, maybe get a little vertical, just see what he can do, show off some skills. He's going to be an important part of the offense this year. I feel more comfortable knowing that Tyreek Hill is going to be fast, that Travis Kelce is going to be a better athlete than anybody trying to cover him. I want to see Sammy Watkins just prove that he's still as good as I think he can be and do what he did against New England last year.
Yeah, I mean, when we were out at training camp, we saw a lot of good things. We haven't really seen much in the game. It's been a small sample size, but I am looking forward to seeing what he's up to. My guy, it's Carlos Hyde. I think this is a big week for him. I think there's still things to like about Carlos Hyde. I think you can trust him in pass pro specifically, and like, I'm still focused on making sure Patrick Mahomes is protected, so I think he could still be an asset potentially there. But I think you probably need to see a little bit from him to give you confidence that he's going to be on this roster moving forward. It does sound like Darwin Thompson is going to get more opportunity. He's going to be a part of the plan here. So Carlos Hyde, this is a big week for you, my friend. We're going to take a break. We'll be back to talk about the defense in preparation for this game against the 33ers. I'm sorry, 49ers.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Well, we held off as long as we could, but now we've got to kind of oblige Craig, I guess. Oblige him and let him talk about the defense. Let's start with this. Mo Claiborne, we think, is going to make his debut for the Kansas City Chiefs this week. Maybe get a little bit of run. Probably all of our first chances to get a look and get some eyes on the Chiefs' newest cornerback addition. Hopefully we see some good things.
Yeah, and the hope is that he can outplay Charvarius Ward, Herb Miller, even from the get-go. Now, it might be a little kind of high hopes to think that he's going to do it in this very first game with the Chiefs, but at the same time, preseason's very boiled down. He can go out there and just showcase baseline skills as a cornerback that the other two don't have a complete skill set right now. Morris Claiborne has at least been in the NFL doing everything a cornerback needs to do at a NFL starting level before. If he can come out, show Chiefs fans that he is worthy of starting in the NFL and not leave them with questions that you might have about Ward or Herb Miller, Chiefs fans should feel great. You have a guy coming back after a few game suspension. He's coming back out. He is going to be better than those two guys. And you're happy. You don't feel great about the cornerback spot, but you at least have three players that you know should be starting on an NFL field.
Absolutely. And Morris Claiborne is going to play this game and then essentially disappear after preseason week four. Like, they're not going to see him for a while. And it's not just us, it's the team as well. So he needs to come out there. He needs to knock the rust off a little bit, maybe dive in, try and make some hits, Don't be surprised if Morris Claiborne ends up playing a little bit longer than some of the other starters. I know he's coming back from injury, but he just needs those reps right now coming back from injury because he's not going to get them as much here in a couple weeks. And he just signed with the team, so it's not like he's been running through training camp this entire time. They need him to go out there, play some decent snaps so they can get a good idea of what they're getting and how readily they can slap him in there in week five.
I almost kind of wonder if he doesn't get a little bit of run in week four.
Yeah.
Just because he's going to have such a long layover if you delay that. Another, you know, that it's his last chance to get live reps until week five. So I do wonder if maybe you get a Mo Claiborne appearance. At least make him go through the process and all that week, getting warmed up and all that good stuff. But yeah, I am excited to see what he's up to. And if he can just help, you know, swing the confidence of this cornerback group a little bit, just I think, you know, his presence here is still valuable because the guys that are going to be leaned on for the first quarter of the season, there's pressure on them now because there is some guy that can come in and take their job. And I think that's really important. I know one thing you guys kind of wanted to talk a little bit about was the defensive back rotation, maybe kind of seeing the usage, who gets in where, and what kind of stuff you see. Is that correct, Maddie?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I do want to see if you're going to see Herb Miller come into the game and still have Charvarius Ward in there at the same time. Are they going to essentially get kind of cornerback 3A and cornerback 3B reps? I guess with Mo Claiborne now, that could even be 4A and 4B. But this last week against the Steelers, they were both out there on the field kind of at the same time. Bashaud Breeland, Kendall Fuller got to leave the game. Herb Miller came on and Charvarius Ward was out there playing the rest of the time. He's young, so he needs the extra time. But it was just interesting that him and Herb Miller were out there kind of at the same time with one another. Will that continue? I kind of think it will. It's just interesting to have two guys that are so different in their play style, but they seem to be battling kind of for the same spot right now. If they clearly have taken a step above Demontre Wade, Mark Fields, and Rashad Fenton to me.
Absolutely. And yeah, Matt hit the nail on the head there. They're very different. I mean, size-wise, they're kind of similar, but their skill sets are about the polar opposite of each other. Charvarius Ward is fast in a straight line and carry vertically. Herb Miller is not fast in a straight line, but he can transition, whereas, again, Charvarius Ward can't. If you guys aren't aware, Charvarius Ward's three-cone was bottom 1%. Like, his RAS, it's very, very poor, and it's entirely because of his three-cone, because 40 was fast.
Was his three-cone 8.08?
No, it wasn't quite that slow, but it was high sevens, very high sevens. So,
oh wow,
it was not good. So that's something that we just kind of got to watch a little bit, because I think right behind those guys, Rashad Fenton seems to have the backup nickel locked up right now. It's not a position I really projected him as when we were watching his tape. He just doesn't seem like that kind of guy. He's better on the boundary, better able to kind of keep his butt to the boundary and shuffle. That was kind of what he did well, is, you know, keeping his eyes in the backfield. From the nickel, he's going to have to do a lot more. So I don't know that I like that a lot, but they don't really seem to be giving Fields reps inside, and Demontre Wade certainly isn't getting reps inside. So I'm going to be paying attention to those backup guys here the next couple weeks to see if anything changes.
Yeah, and I think this week three, you know, kind of dress rehearsal, it's the kind of same thing we're talking about with receivers. You know, who's getting on the field when it matters. And, you know, guys like Mark Fields that we all really think has a lot of talent, when he gets on the field, it's kind of going to be important to see. And the same with the likes of Herb Miller and Charvarius Ward. I think there's a lot up in the air with that cornerback position still. I think it's entirely possible that, you know, they could keep three rookie corners. They could keep Herb, Fields, and Fenton. I mean, it's crazy, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that half of their cornerback group is rookies. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that group as well. I know one of the things that we also kind of want to look at and just kind of see is, you know, if we get any games up front, any stunts, any twists, anything like that, to maybe just kind of get a taste of what we might be able to see this entire season.
Yeah, and the Chiefs have been pretty consistent about running some tech stunts, or the tackle goes first, the end cuts in behind them towards the inside of the offensive line in these first two preseason games. I imagine you'll get more of those. They're pretty basic, but it's still a stunt. It still can work. I'm just kind of wondering if they're going to get a little bit more creative with them rather than having the defensive tackle crash into the offensive tackle and then the defensive end just pretty much run a straight line off their hip. I just wonder if you're going to see some more creative kind of looping, maybe some more delays or anything like that. And if not, that's fine. You can save the good stuff to get later on into the season. I know we saw a lot of linebackers lining up in the A-gaps, whether they were blitzing or dropping here against the Steelers. They did it a lot. They even pulled Frank Clark a couple times back out into kind of a quarterback spy or just like watching a shallow zone. So they were doing some stuff. I just don't think they're getting too advanced yet, and I'm not really sure that I want them to show too much yet.
Yeah, I'm with Maddie there. It's not vanilla. It's certainly varied here. My thing is, I want to see them practice it a little bit live. It's one thing to be doing it in practice. You want to see some of these reps happen live. You want to just see every once in a while something a little more exotic than what they're currently doing out there, just to, you know, kind of flex those muscles a little bit and make sure that what's happening is what you're asking to happen on the field for Steve Spagnuolo. So I'm interested to see a little bit more. Maybe we do get to see just a little hint of something more. I know for me it would get me excited to see that after watching Bob Sutton not do anything up front for 5 years here.
Well, I think it'll be also interesting just to kind of look and see who's good at them, who's asked to do what, and who has success with them too. I mean, you know, that's something I'm kind of looking forward to checking out as well. And I think just the rotation along the defensive line too. It sounds like Breland Speaks may not be available. Does Colin Saunders maybe get some run? Does, you know, Tano Passanio, is, you know, is he going to get some, does he get more reps out at end? Because, you know, they're one short now. I guess, are they one short at end with Breland Speaks, or are they one short inside? I don't know. I guess we're going to, you know, we're going to have to find out
eventually.
They're
one defensive lineman, very large defensive lineman short. That's what they are.
And all jokes aside, that's an interesting point, because Breland Speaks has definitely played mostly defensive end, but he has been the first end to kick inside the defensive tackle spot. Like, they have kicked him on third and longs. He goes in and plays D tackle. And so is it going to be Tano Passanio? Is it going to be Emmanuel Ogba that maybe come off the bench to do so? Or is it going to be an Okafor that kicks inside and then they bring off one of those guys on the end? So that is something to watch, just to kind of get a general look at where they see these guys. And yeah, one thing I do want to mention, Craig talked about it, these guys need the live action on these stunts. That is true, because if you watch them run these stunts versus the Bengals, essentially Breland Speaks and I think it was Jeremiah Atachu, they were just running into players. Yeah, they were stunting, but they were simply just running into the opposite guy. And sometimes that might result in some help, but like, you got to know when you're crashing into a tackle or you're cutting behind your defensive tackle. You got to know how to operate from there. And it did look like these guys knew what to do. They just weren't super comfortable in knowing how to react once they got there. So more reps doing so is going to be better for a team that has not done a lot in the past.
Kind of also curious to see what Emmanuel Ogba's usage is with that first group, because it feels like he really, and obviously the first unit really has kind of been kicked off pretty quick, but I want to see how he rotates in. I kind of just want to see the rotation on the defensive line.
He was running with the twos this week. I mean, he and Breland Speaks were the two guys that came in at defensive end with the twos, not Tano Passanio. He was later on in the game. Now, again, it's preseason. They might just be getting guys looks, but Ogba seemed to kind of come in immediately with the twos there.
And this is why no Breland Speaks kind of throws a wrench into the plan, because now you're going to see Ogba and K-Pass, but it's just a matter of, are you only seeing them because Speaks is hurt? Is Ogba really ahead of him? So on and so forth. But it's still going to be nice to see him. I want to see more Ogba reps, because I thought he was kind of up and down against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. So more reps for him is good. I think we know what we have in Tano. I know everybody wants to hold out hope and see him again, but I think it's pretty clear on what he is at this point in time. Maybe he still develops, but I think you have a good picture of what he's going to bring this year already.
Yep, I agree. All right, defensive players to watch. Craig, start us off.
Well, I wasn't here to talk about him last week, so I got to bring up, I'm not fully a herbivore, Kent.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on, Craig.
But Big Herb over here.
Big Herb.
I'm interested to see him play this week. I want to see him play this week, and I want to see him maybe mix in a little early. I want to see him against some of the San Francisco starting players. I want to see what he can do here because, like we said, he does not have vertical speed. But he can still be protected with a safety over the top. They can still run some coverage calls with him underneath as more of a shallow zone and in the flats and taking away curls, things like that. He can do that. That makes him a very functional player in Steve Spagnuolo's scheme still. So I'm very, very interested to see if he gets a little bit of run and how he looks and when he comes in. If he comes in before Charvarius Ward, you guys might want to start getting your Big Herb jerseys ready for week one.
That perks those ears up a little bit.
Yeah,
it definitely does. I remember, I'll let you jump in here in a second, Maddie, but man, I just remember the first weekend I was out there, Herb Miller was getting run with the twos. I messaged you guys. I was like, Herb Miller's out here with the twos. And it was just like this, like, I think we were all stunned. And
I thought you were having a steak and you were just putting some Herb butter on top of the mm-hmm. steak, making it yeah. delicious.
It's like a Montreal steak seasoning, but just a yeah. Herb Miller seasoning.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was kind of surprising. Maddie, who are you looking forward to watching this week?
The one thing I want to say about, like, camp reps, Devontre Wade was getting run with the ones and they were having injuries, and he was pretty clear-cut number two reps in camp for a lot of it. He doesn't look like he even belongs in this conversation for a guy getting real playing time. I don't even think that he should make the team. That, I mean, obviously depends on how much they trust Mark Fields not on the field. Because Devontre Wade just does not look like an NFL-caliber cornerback. He just doesn't even move like a cornerback moves. I think in his future, to be better, he needs to move to safety. I think that would help him. Yeah. He likes to hit, clearly.
He doesn't even
box safety.
He doesn't even really look practice squadable right now.
No, he looks like a linebacker trying to play cornerback. Yeah, he does not move like a cornerback should move. So that was just a quick little aside. But I'm most excited to see Damian Wilson. I think it kind of caught me and probably a lot of people by surprise that he's playing the first team will linebacker. He is playing the weak side linebacker, whether we're talking in the nickel or in the base defense. He's playing what's considered your most athletic linebacker spot with the one first team right now. That wasn't what I would have seen for him watching his film at Dallas. Even just looking at him, he's a bigger, stronger guy. He plays physical. He has no problems with taking on tight ends or offensive tackles in the run game. But watching him carry routes vertically or run sideline to sideline probably isn't a strong suit. So I'm just interested to see him get more reps, especially if they get put in that base defense by the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan's offense. He'll be out there with presumably Reggie Ragland and Anthony Hitchens, I guess, at this point in time, or whatever they're trying to do. But he'll be out there. He'll be asked to run a little bit with these fullbacks and tight ends. I just want to see, can he keep up? Is that going to be his position, or are they just kind of testing it out? Because I like his game. I just didn't think it was going to be at the weak side spot.
I didn't either. That was probably the most shocking part about training camp, is seeing his coverage reps. Like, we saw him. We watched his film. He didn't look great in coverage in Dallas. He really didn't. And watching him out there, I don't know if he's a little lighter. I don't know if he's just a little more comfortable. I'm not sure what it is, but he seems quicker in one-on-ones, which are tailor-made to get tight ends and running backs in space against bad coverage linebackers and man coverage. He held his own well enough, and that's inspiring. That should make people feel good, and that's probably why Steve Spagnuolo is using him in those positions right now.
And he was kind of up and down during my weekend out there at training camp. He actually had a really nice play diving for a ball by Kyle Shermer. That was one of the worst throws I've seen at a professional football training camp before. But it was still really nice play by him in zone coverage. He struggled against Blake Bell in man coverage a little bit, chasing him around. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what he's utilized or how he's utilized and what he kind of brings to the table and if he's made some strides and steps in coverage. My guy, speaking of coverage players, Darren Lee. He's a guy that kind of came in late into the process, and I'm a big fan of his. He's done some good things to this point. He's had a decent couple preseason training or preseason games, and I just want to see if he builds off of that and how he's utilized with, you know, the first team. I don't know if I saw him get any reps with the first team. Did we see any reps of Darren Lee with the first team? I can't remember if we did.
No, we haven't.
I don't think we did. And if there's, you know, some of the sub package rotations, you kind of thought maybe he was kind of that coverage backer you guys have been talking about all summer. So what happens to Darren Lee here? So that's something I'm really kind of keeping an eye on.
I think it's more about them getting Damian Wilson those looks. They haven't played very much with that starting defense, but it has been Damian on the field. When they're in the base, it's Reggie, Damian Wilson, and Anthony Hitchens. But I do think that they're making Darren Lee earn his spot a little bit, and he's flashing. He's looking pretty good.
I think
good.
He's earned it.
If it was up to me at this point in time, Darren Lee would definitely be your starting weak side linebacker. Like I said, I like what Damian Wilson's doing. I just think his skill set works better at the strong side. I would rather see Darren Lee out there running. Watching him and Damian Wilson, they just move differently. They play differently. They're different level of athletes. I understand making Darren Lee earn it, but I think he has. He's been one of their better players so far. He's making plays every game, so I'm more than willing to have him out there, but I understand what they're doing. I just want to see how it plays out, I guess. I want to see Darren Lee run with the ones to see if it looks different than when Damian Wilson does, and I hope we get to see that this week. Just they haven't done it yet.
I'm ready to see some nickel looks with Darren Lee at the very least.
Yeah.
That's, you know, even I don't need to see base looks with Darren Lee. That's fine. I understand if they don't want to do that, but I want to see a handful of nickel looks. Get him next to Anthony Hitchens. See how he looks there. Just, yeah.
And I think that's just in general. I just want to see if we can get any clues on roster construction. If there's anything that becomes pretty glaring and obvious about how some of these guys are going to be used. I think that's going to be an important thing we learned this week. That is going to do it for the preview edition of this week's Arrowhead Pride Laboratory. We will be back next week with a mailbag, getting you ready for preseason week four, the big one, fellas. Whew. We'll catch you later.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.